بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وآله وصحبه وسلم. أسأل الله تعالى أن يوفقنا بما يحب ويرضى، وأن ينفعنا بما علمنا، وأن علمنا ما ينفعنا، وزدنا علما كثيرا. أما بعد، respected brothers in Islam، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. I welcome you to tonight's halaqa, which is on Asma'ullah al-Husna, or the beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he has a very beautiful book on the names and attributes of Allah. And he begins the book saying that studying the names and attributes of Allah is the noblest of all knowledge. The noblest and the best of all knowledge. Because knowing the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the basis of all other knowledge. Because Allah is the greatest reality, the greatest thing that is known. He is the one who created all other knowledges. So by knowing Him, we can understand His actions and His creation. And also, when we judge any knowledge, we judge the nobility of that knowledge by the subject matter. And if you study the names of Allah Ta'ala, we're studying the creator of the universe. This is the noblest thing that one could seek to learn about. So this is a very, very important science that Ibn Qayyim, he said that Allah has commanded us to learn His name and attributes. When He said in the Quran, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Know that there is no God but Allah. So that means seek the understanding of who is Allah. فَعْلَمْ. Know who is Allah. In order to worship Allah, we have to know who He is. And by learning His names and attributes, we perfect our ubudiyah, our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each of the names of Allah, there's a type of ubudiyah that is related to that name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, if we know Allah is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, then when we show rahmah to others, this is worshipping Allah by understanding that name and attribute of His. If we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Razzaq, and then therefore we trust in Him and we have tawakkal on Him, knowing that He is the Razzaq, then we've done the ubudiyah related to this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we know Allah is the Raqib, the Aleem, Raqib means He's the watchful one. The Aleem, He knows all things, subtle and open matters and hidden matters. Then we have muraqabah over our heart. We watch our hearts. What do we think about? What do we allow into our heart? Because we know Allah is the Raqib. We know He sees into our heart. He knows all the subtle matters. So when we learn the names of Allah, we learn how to worship Him more perfectly and more correctly. How do we know the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where do we learn the names of Allah? We learn them through the Quran and the Sunnah. The Quran and the Sunnah are the source of the names and attributes of Allah. Because they say tawqifi. Tawqifi means they stop on the revelation. We cannot make up names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know Allah through what He revealed to us about Himself. We cannot make up attributes about Allah based on our own thinking, but we must look in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Many of the names of Allah are found at the end of many ayahs. When we read the ayahs, Allah, He describes Himself in the end of the ayahs. So this is how we learn the names and attributes of Allah. We should know the names of Allah because we don't want to be like those who forgot about Allah. Allah says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Do not be like those who forgot about Allah, so He made them forget themselves. If we don't know who Allah is, we don't know His names, then what happens? Allah says we will forget about ourselves. We will be made to forget about ourselves. Why? Because by knowing Allah, we know that our purpose is to worship Him. And that the reason why we're in this world is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our fitra, our innate nature, is to worship the Creator. And therefore, our happiness and success lies in worshiping the One who created us. But if we forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we forget His names and attributes, we don't know who He is, we don't know He's the Creator, we do not know He's the Provider, the Razak, the Rabb, then what happens? Then we forget the reason why we're in this world. And then we forget the thing that will make us achieve happiness and success in this world and the next, which is Tawheed and worshipping Allah ta'ala. So learning about Allah, His names and attributes, will help us to remember the purpose for which we are here and help us to fulfill the purpose of this world, which is to make Tawheed and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we forget Allah's names and attributes, we become like cattle, as Ibn Qayyim he says. Because the cattle, they don't have any understanding of what they're doing, what their purpose is. They're just fulfilling their ghariza, their desires. And they don't know that they don't have any higher purpose. By knowing the names of Allah, we know we can fulfill our worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh, he mentions that, Ibn Qayyim, that people who disbelieve in Allah or make shirk with Allah, the reason they do that is because they don't know Allah's names and attributes properly. Why is somebody an atheist? Because he doesn't know the name of Allah Al-Khaliq. If he knew that Allah is Al-Khaliq, he understood that Allah is the Creator, He's the one who brings things into creation, anybody else cannot create the wing of a gnat, then would he be atheist? He wouldn't be an atheist. He understood that the name of Allah, Al-Khaliq. People make shirk with Allah because they don't know His other names. For example, He is the Sami'a. He's the one who hears. But people go to an idol or go to an intermediary and ask them to make dua when they know Allah is the Sami'a. He hears every dua. They wouldn't have to do that. So by knowing the names of Allah, we worship Allah. By not knowing His names, people make shirk with Him and they attribute partners to Him or they disbelieve in Him. So to complete our iman in Allah, we have to learn His names and attributes. The Fatiha, it teaches us the importance of learning Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, and part of Tawheed is knowing the names and attributes of Allah. How does it teach us that? Alhamdu lillah. All praise is due to Allah. This is called the first part of Tawheed, which is that all worship is due only to Allah. This is called Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, that worship is only due to Allah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Rabb means sustainer of everything in the universe. This is the next part of Tawheed called Tawheed al-Rububiyya, that Allah is the one who is sustaining us. We direct all worship to Him, and He is the one who is sustaining all of His creation, all the creatures, all human beings. He is the Rabb. Then he says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He begins to describe himself. And so this is the third part of Tawheed, which is the understanding the names and attributes of Allah. Believing in them, not denying them, and also not making them like His creation. Allah is the Rahman Ar-Rahim. So when we look in Al-Fatiha, Allah, He starts to describe Himself. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik, Malik Yawm al-Din. These names of Allah and the others that Allah calls Himself by or describes Himself by, it is obligatory for every Muslim to believe in them and to not make them metaphorical. He must believe in their reality and not to try to interpret or make them metaphorical. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about His sifat, He says He ascended His throne. So we should not make this metaphorical, meaning that He established the laws of physics in the universe. This is what it means, ascend His throne. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says He has a hand, He grasped the heavens in His right hand on the Day of Judgment. So what does it mean if we have Tawheed in this attribute? We have to believe that He grasped the heavens in His right hand, that He has a hand. But His hand is not like our hands. It says, يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ السَّاقِ. The day that Allah will uncover His shin. And everything will make sajda that we call to make sajda to him, the fallen sajda to him. So we believe that Allah has a shin, but his shin is nothing like our shin, nothing in creation. It says on the Day of Judgment, Allah says that the hellfire will be bursting with anger, with flames, and Allah will stomp on the hellfire with his foot. And he'll say, qit, qit, be down, be down. So should we believe this is metaphorical? No, we have to believe that Allah will step on hellfire with his foot. How does his foot look? We don't understand. We don't know. This is beyond our comprehension. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a face. His face is not like our face. But he has a face. He attributed it to himself. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ. Everyone on the earth will perish, but the face of your Lord will remain. He has a face, but his face is not like our face. He has a hand. يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. His hand is not like a human hand. But we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has the hand. So believing the tawheed of Allah's names and attributes means we believe in them without making them metaphorical, meaning that they're try to interpret them in some way that we understand, saying his hand means his power. No, we cannot interpret that. Why did Allah say that he has a hand? Why did the Prophet ﷺ say he had a hand? He could have said he had power. So we would be denying something Allah attributed to himself. And so we don't want to deny the way of the Sahaba, the way of the pious predecessors. They didn't try to philosophize what do these things mean. They accepted them, they believed in them completely with their heart. Allah, he descends to the nearest heaven in the last third of the night. They didn't say this means he is merciful, or he answers, the du'as are accepted more. They said he descends to the lowest third of the night, and the lowest third, lowest heaven on the last third of the night. How does he do that? We don't understand. We cannot understand the way, but in a way that befits his majesty, the way that befits Allah's majesty. Allah ascended his throne. He is above his throne. What does Allah's throne look like? How does Allah sit above his throne? We cannot understand that. But we must believe in it. And Imam Malik, he said the very beneficial words when somebody asked him about ascending the throne. They said, is it real or metaphorical? So then he became very angry. And he said, Al-istawa ghayr majhool wal-iman wal-kayfiyya ghayr ma'qool wal-iman bihi wajib wa-su'an anhu bid'ah. He said, ascension of the throne is not something unknown, ghayr majhool, and asking, and how he did it is ghayr ma'qool. How did he do it? It's beyond our understanding. Believing in it, iman bihi wajib. Believing in it is wajib. وَسُؤَالْ عَنْهُ بِدَعًا. And asking on it is an innovation. Trying to understand how Allah ascended the throne, we cannot understand it. But it's part of our iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, when we believe in the names and attributes of Allah, part of the tawheed of his names and attributes is believing that his attributes are perfect. There's no defect in them. When we say Allah is the hearing, that means his hearing is perfect of all things, all languages, all people. Any way they call on him, he hears it. His hearing is not defective in any way. There's nothing that can be hidden from him. Whereas human hearing is defective. We might not hear something too far away. We have deficiencies in our hearing, but Allah's is perfect. His seeing is perfect. He sees behind and front, past and future. His knowledge is perfect. Our knowledge could be mistaken. His knowledge is perfect. So this is we should believe in his attributes, that they're perfect, that they're nothing like his creation, and that they are. We should establish them without interpreting them, and have full iman in them. This is part of understanding the names and attributes of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, he is with the sabirin. He said that when the when the Prophet ﷺ was in the cave, when he was making hijrah with Abu Bakr, he got scared when he saw the footsteps above. He thought the mushrikeen are going to kill him and the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet ﷺ said to Abu Bakr, "La tahzan, inna Allaha ma'ana." Do not be sad, Allah is with us. So what does it mean Allah is with us? Does it mean Allah was physically inside of the cave? No. Because we believe that Allah does not mix with His creation. He does not dwell in His creation. But we believe He's with them. The scholars say that Allah is with His creation in two senses. One, He's with them with His knowledge and with His angels. Allah's knowledge is with us wherever we go. His angels are writing everything we do wherever we go. So He's with us with His knowledge. That's His general witness. But He's also with the believers in a special way. He was with the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr, not just with His knowledge, but in a special way He was with them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah is with the patient. How is He with the patient? This part of witness we cannot understand. This way that Allah says He's with the patient, He's with the muttaqeen, He's with Abu Bakr and Umar, He's with the two businessmen when they're honest with each other. If they cheat each other, He leaves. This kind of witness we cannot understand with our mind. But what we can see is the effects of that witness. The effects of that witness is that when Allah is with somebody in a special way, He answers their dua right away. The people that He loves, He answers their dua, He helps them, He protects them. We can see the effects of how He's with them, but we don't understand how Allah is with that person. This is also part of believing in the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we know the names of Allah, then we can worship Him through His names. For example, He is Jawad. Jawad, it means the generous one. Where's Brother Jawad today? Jawad means He's generous. So how do we worship Allah with this name? I'm sure you can tell me. We know that Allah's name is Jawad, the generous one. So how do we worship Allah using this name? By being Jawad, by being generous. Yes. When we know Allah's Jawad, so we try to be generous, because every name has an attribute of it that we can try to worship Allah with. So we know Allah's Jawad is generous, then we be generous. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Aleem, so we love knowledge. Allah is the knowledgeable, so we should love knowledge. Allah is Jameen, beautiful, so how do we worship Allah with His name? By being beautiful, wearing clean clothes, wearing decent clothing, for example, or doing things, having shoes that are nice, not to show off or not to be arrogant, but the Prophet ﷺ said to a Sahabi who wore nice shoes, he said, "Is this arrogance?" He said, "No, Allah is beautiful, He loves beauty." So all of Allah's names, He loves that. He loves those names. Allah is generous and He loves generosity. Allah is beautiful, He loves beauty. Allah is knowledgeable, He loves knowledge. Allah is merciful, He loves mercy. So whenever when we want to worship Allah with that name, Allah is Wadud, the loving, so we show love to Him and to His people who love Him. Then we can worship Allah through those names, and this will make our ibadah more perfect and more correct. Also, if we know His names, then we can worship Him not always by acting in accordance to that name, but sometimes those names will make us realize our position with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, we know that Allah is the mighty, the sublime, the Azim, the great and powerful. So how does that make us feel? Humbleness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? We should feel humbleness to Allah when we know His name's Azim, Aziz, the powerful, the mighty, then we show humbleness to Him. Qawi. When we say that Allah is Qawi, then we realize it should make us realize our weakness and our need for Him to strengthen us. When we know that Allah is Razaq, the one who provides risk, He's a Mu'ti, He's the one that gives, He's the mani', the one that withholds, the one who's hafiz, the one that protects. So how should that make us feel to him? He's the one that will protect, he's the one that provides, he's the one that gives and takes away. He can protect you, so that means we should trust in him. Right? He's the one who's a hafiz, the protector. We should have more tawakkal on him. Right? Some people, they have tawakkal on the police. The police are going to protect me. Or the alarm system is going to protect me. All of those things can fail. What if the phone line is cut? You can't call the police. What if the alarm system, the electricity goes off? But if Allah is protecting you, that's the best protection. So these names, when we know He's Razzaq, He's the Razzaq. So are you scared now of your boss? Oh, I'm going to lose my job, I'm going to be poor and always so worried. You put your trust in Allah. He's the Razzaq. You do your best in your work, but you don't have to be in fear all the time. These names, they help us to rely on Allah. When we know that Allah is the Alim, the Khabir, the Raqib, that means He has knowledge, He's aware of subtle things, He's the one who's overwatching His creation, then it should make us more conscious of Him wherever we go. Then we have that consciousness of Allah. So this is how we use the names of Allah to worship Him. And this is important to do that. Why is it important to worship Allah through His names and attributes? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah has 99 names. Whoever learns them and acts in accordance to them, or whoever learns them will enter paradise. Allah has 99 names, 100 less 1. Whoever learns them will enter paradise. Narrated by Bukhari. So the scholars, they say, what does it mean to learn the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It means to memorize them, to understand what they mean, to act in accordance to what they imply, to act like we were just saying, how to worship Him through those names, and to call upon Him using those names. And also finally, to call upon Him by these beautiful names, and to worship Him, such as if you know He's Razzaq, not seeking risk from other than Him. If you know He's the Ilah, not worshipping other than Him. So when we do this, this will be a means for us entering into the paradise, entering Jannah. Inshallah ta'ala. And the last thing for today, inshallah, no one keeps us too long, inshallah, is since we don't have time to go over all the names of Allah, actually each name would take a whole dars probably. We'll go over one name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of His names, which is An-Nur. Allah is the light of the heavens and earth. Allah, as you know, in Surah An-Nur, Allah says, Allahu Nur as-samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. The example of His light, kamishkatin fihi misbah, is like a niche in the wall. Inside of the niche is a lantern. Fihi misbah, al-misbah fi zujaja, the lantern is surrounded by glass. Az-zujajatu ka'annaha kawkabun, the glass as if it's a shining star. Kawkabun durriyun yuqadu, that is lit from a beautiful pure oil, from a tree that is neither eastern or western. This oil is so pure that it's as if the oil is making light. It doesn't even need the flame, as if the light is coming from the oil. When you have very, very pure oil, when you see it burning, you can almost, the oil itself is shining the light, as if the oil, يُقَدُ مِنْ شَجْرَةٍ زَيْتُونَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ لَا شَرْقِيَّ وَلَا غَرْبِيَّ إِكَادُ زَيْتُهَا يُضِي وَلَوْ لَمْ تَمْسَسْهُ نَارٍ. The fire is floating above the oil. نُورٌ عَلَى نُورٍ, light upon light. يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَا يَشَاءَ, Allah guides to His light whom He loves. So the Nur, what does it mean, Allah is the light of the heavens and earth? Allah's name, An-Nur. The scholars, they say there are a number of meanings. One is that Allah is An-Nur, meaning that He is the one who illuminates everything in the heavens and the earth. Meaning He is the one who guides all things to the right path. He is the light, meaning from His light, He guides all the inhabitants of the heavens and the earth to his religion, to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one angle or one way of understanding Allah is An-Nur, that he guides through his light everything in the heavens and the earth when we say Allahu Nur as-samawati wal-ard. Another meaning of Nur is taken from another ayah, which is that Allah, he has light that is intrinsic, that is part of his being. That Allah, it's not through his guidance that his light, but he himself, he has light. And it says in Surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Az-Zumar, وَأَشْرَقَتِ الْأَرْضُ بِنُورِ رَبِّهَا. On the day of judgment, the whole ground, the whole earth will be lightened from the light of its Lord. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes on the day of judgment, the whole earth will be shining with light, or the light will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's some light that Allah has that's part of his own existence. Allah has light that comes from him, it's one of his sifat on the day of judgment. And it will lighten the heavens and the earth. So that's the second meaning of Allah is Nur. Allah is the Nur. The third meaning of Allah is Nur is that his veil is light. His hijab, hijabuhu Nur, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that when the Prophet ﷺ went to the Mi'raj, Aisha, she said, did you see Allah? He said, light, how can I see? His veil is light. And in some du'as, or some statements the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah's veil is light. If his veil was removed, then anything that he gazed upon would be burned or set ablaze by the rays of his face. So he has a veil that is made out of light. His hijab is nur. And no one in this world can see Allah azza wa jal because his veil is the nur. The last meaning of nur is, this meaning inshallah, the last meaning of the nur, which is in this ayah we'll talk about inshallah ta'ala, the ayah from Surah An-Nur, is Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. And here the scholars, they say that this Allah is making a parable for the heart of the believer in this ayah. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard, meaning that Allah's light in the heart or in the chest of a believer is being, there's being, Allah is drawing an analogy. So he's talking about his light, and he says it's like a lantern inside a niche in a wall. So they say the niche is the chest of the believer, and the lantern or the glass is the heart. The heart of the believer. And the glass is so clear because the heart of a believer, when it becomes purified, it sees truth and it speaks truth and it is pure. It becomes so pure, it's like a clean, pure glass. And the light that is inside the lantern is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The light that is inside of the lantern is the knowledge and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his nur, what is it? It's knowledge. The knowledge and the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the more pure a person's heart is, the more clear this glass is, and the more the light shines, the knowledge that Allah puts inside of that heart. And some hearts are not pure, they're not clean. The Shaykh says like some hearts are hard like a rock, some hearts are weak, but this glass is strong. And the oil in the light that brings them the knowledge, the oil is the revelation, is the Quran and the Sunnah. This is the revelation, and it gives the knowledge, it gives the light inside the heart of a believer. And subhanAllah, Shaykh Sadiq Ibn Sadiq, one of the big scholars from Saudi. And then he says, the oil is neither from the east or the west. SubhanAllah, the analogy he says, it's not of the either extreme. It's not from Christianity or Judaism, where they go to one extreme towards the dunya, Judaism, or the other extreme, which is the Nasara, they abandon the dunya and they go only for the akhirah. It's in the middle. So the oil is neither east or west, it's the pure guidance on the straight path. That's going on the straight path. Then light upon light. This is the beautiful part. Allah says, Nurun ala nur. What is the light upon light? He said that every believer has a fitra in his heart, a natural inclination towards truth. And when his heart is pure, he's almost inclined to the right rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He feels that this is right. Then when he hears the Dalil, he hears the Qur'an and Sunnah, it just confirms what he felt in his heart. So this pure fitra, when it's added to the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's light upon light. The purity of someone's fitra, when their heart is pure from all the nafs and the shahwa, it's inclined towards whatever is already correct, what is the rulings of Allah. Then when he hears the Dalil from the Qur'an and Sunnah, then it just reaffirms what Allah put in his heart of the natural fitra. So nurun ala nur, yadrib Allahu al-amthal, Allah just strikes the examples for people. Allahu samin, and Allah is the all-knowing. So here we see this beautiful example of the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to enlighten our hearts and yours with his nur, inshaAllah ta'ala, and with iman, firm iman. جزاكم الله خيرا. This is all for today, inshallah. صلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. الله تعالى أعلم. Allah knows best. Anybody have any questions?
Just a small
question. Yeah.
Allah's will is light.
Is light, yes.
So, is that light that we're going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the date of judgment?
Yes, his light is in this world, his veil is light. But on the day of judgment, the Prophet sallallahu, he said, do you look at the Sahaba asked, will we see our Lord on the day of judgment? He said, do you see the full moon or the sun? They said, yeah, we see it clearly. He said, this is how you will see your Lord on the day of judgment. So, in this world, Allah has decreed that no one can speak to Allah except behind the hijab. No one is able to speak to Allah except there's a hijab between them. That's part of what Allah decreed in this world.
So, like you said, the hadith that mentioned that, you know, Prophet Muhammad said that if Allah would take his veil off,
yes,
everything would just basically, you know,
anything that his gaze fell upon,
yeah,
they would be ablaze from the rays of his face, of his
so
countenance.
We not able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if we see him. So it's a rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, that's true. The believer, yes, this is the ihsan, the highest level of iman, Islam iman ihsan, to worship Allah as if you see him. If you don't see him, then know that he sees you. And the ulama, they say that a person cannot see Allah in this world. But as if he sees him, meaning his iman is so strong that if he were to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would worship Allah the same way, because the iman in him becomes so strong. So the person in this world, he cannot, his mind can, his cannot encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it will be a reward for the believers in the next world that he will allow the believers to look at his face in the paradise.
Only
the believers will see him. No, they will be given the blessing of that, inshallah. Yes.
So what about saying, I will first question. Is there any authentic list of names? Like,
yes, good question. I'm glad you brought that up. There's commonly in the hadith 99 names. However, Allah has more names than 99. If we look in the Quran and the Sunnah, we find more than 99. So some scholars, they tried to compile a list from the authentic Quran and Sunnah of the 99 names, but we don't have any single hadith that is authentic that lists the 99 names. There is one hadith that has weakness in this chain. So Allah Sochal, it says in the Quran, لَهُمْ أَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى, in general, he has the beautiful names and attributes. There's a hadith that's authentic that says he has 99 names. But what are those 99 names? We don't have any authentic hadith that specifies that. So which leaves the matter that there's more than 99. There's other names, and we can try to use the ones in the Quran and Sunnah, that's best. No. No.
What is the Asma,
Ism al-Azam, the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a whole nother dars, I think we have to talk about all the different views. But some of them said Allah.
It's hidden?
Some of them said Allah is the Ism al-Azam. Some of them, there's a hadith that says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدُ اللَّهُ صَمَدْ. The surah, it's in the surah. There's many different texts. But of course, Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, Allah kept it hidden. Why did he keep it hidden? So we'll call on him by each of his names. We'll say, maybe this is the name, and then call on him. Maybe this is the name, and then call on him.
I didn't get the question.
There's one name of Allah that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever calls on Allah by this name, any dua he makes, it will be answered. And the names in the ulama, they have different views, so many different views about it. It's not clear, there's no clear text. This is the name, the greatest name of Allah.
In fact, there was a maybe prophet or, you know, the Ashab al-Uqud.
Yes.
In the time of Ashab al-Uqud, there was a prophet, or I don't know. When we read the tafsir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the Ismail Azam, and he was praying with this name, and it was accepting.
Subhanallah. Yes. Yes. So some of the ulama, they say Allah kept it hidden from this ummah so that we would try to learn all of his names. Otherwise we just learn the one name and not learn the other
so
names.
So call each and every name.
We should try to learn all of them. And then worship Allah through them. And so on. Inshallah. Yes, brother.
Second part. So what about names like Jabbar, Qahhar, Mu'izz, and...
Jabbar and Qahhar.
Okay,
strong. Yes, Jabbar, it means compeller. But it can also mean... I mean, compeller mean like the one that can force, like somebody doesn't want to die, he can force them to die. Nobody can resist death, for example. So it could have that strong meaning. But also Jabbar, it could have the meaning of he strengthens those worshippers who are weak in their heart. Jabbar in Arabic can mean to make firm or strengthen. Mu'min, for example, the believer, it means that those who believe in him, he strengthens them. He protects them from. So there's sometimes the meaning when it comes to us, the creation is different than what it means to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And I was just like, in general, there are some names which have a strong meaning.
Not negative meaning.
No, not negative.
Because we never, of course, we have a good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We never attribute anything negative to him. Any evil or bad in the creation, we attribute it to ourselves. It's from our own shortcomings. We always think that, you know, the Yahud, they had a bad opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we always have, we know that everything is good is from Allah, and the evils are from ourselves. But, you know, we don't attribute anything negative to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the shadr and the evil, we say it's from ourselves.
Yeah.
Really? I don't have a question.
No. Shalom.
Jazakallah khair.
Questions?
Start to go.
Okay, Jazakallah khair.
Question that Irfan had.
Yes.
So you're saying that there's one of the 99 names?
Allah has one name. One of his names is called Ism al-A'zam, the greatest name. If you make dua to Allah with this name, then the dua will be answered. This is called the Ism al-Azam, the greatest name. However, what is the greatest name? Nobody can say this is definitely the greatest name, and Allah has kept it hidden. And Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he said he kept the exact name, which name it is, he kept it hidden so people would learn all of Allah's names. Just like he kept the hour on Friday, 1 hour on Friday, Allah answers the du'as, right? Mm-hmm. It's called the Sa'at al-Istijaba. He kept it hidden so that we'll make du'as throughout the day on Friday. He kept, what day is Laylatul Qadr? He kept it hidden between the different odd nights. So everybody doesn't come to masjid one night, the rest of the night they're watching TV. They're going to come every night and try to worship at least all the odd nights. And some of them said it moves from one night to another. So again, even with the names of Allah, I believe some of the ulama, they say it could be a different name. It might not be just one name all of it. It could be for a particular need, it could be a particular name, Allahu A'lam. I believe this is what some of the ulama they say. So, but there is a hadith that says that Allah has an ism al-azam. Whoever calls on Him by it, He will answer the dua. So that gives us motivation now what? To learn all of the names, inshallah ta'ala.
Oh, mashallah, it's very good halakha today.
Jazakallah
khair. I was so happy to be here. I never have been this kind of
Alhamdulillah,
knowledge.
Allah make it beneficial. Make it beneficial for us.
You're
most
life.
Welcome, brother.
I'm
most
so
welcome.
Glad
may Allah help us to learn His name so we can worship Him more better, inshallah. I have a nice, if anybody would like, I have a booklet here of all the names of Allah, authentic names and meanings. I can print it for you. Anybody who wants it, inshallah. The explanation of the beautiful names of Allah. It's on, yes, it's on, yes. Oh, it is. Oh, yes. Any other questions? Yes, brother. Yes? Okay, I'll print one for you, inshallah. Yes, jazakallah khair. That's good. You know, it's on, the brother says, on thailandmuslims.com.
Yeah.
Under the ebook section, you can find it, but also there. I can print it for you also if you need it, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. Any other questions? Subhanakallah bihamdik. Astaghfirullah wa atubu alayk. Subhana rabbika rabbal izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamu ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.